Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
With nothing at stake in the standings, and with, you know, Caleb possibly being in an offense that he won't be in next year, was there any consideration given by you or Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren to sitting Caleb this week?
Yeah, so when you say nothing at stake, so there's a game that's going to be played. So at stake as far as competing and winning a football game, which I think is different from maybe the outside world's perspective, there's always an opportunity at stake to go compete and be at your best.
God, that Rolling Stones sounds so good right now. Music has its moments, its places, its context, and for some reason that just sounds particularly good. Over our next guest, Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, joining us here on the Mully and Haw Show. I'm Mark Grody, along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network, and Potsy joins us on the Aturo Tire guest line, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. What's going on, Potsy? Good morning.
Morning, Potsy.
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. We're actually just talking about today is the 33rd anniversary of this here radio station, of The Score, and I imagine being the all-around Chicago sports fan that you are, and Mark Potash is one of the only legitimate roots for the Cubs, roots for the Sox guys in this town, or is invested in both teams. What do you remember about The Score coming on back in the day, and how excited were you? You must have been.
I remember the excitement. You know, I've been a sports talk caller since I was in high school in the 70s, you know, any whatever talk show there was, I would call. And so I was a total nerd and a sports geek. So I always thought, you know, it's funny, I always wanted there to be something like The Score on the radio. But I'll be honest, my vision of The Score probably would have been out in 6 months. So credit to everybody who put it together, you know, from the very first crew to all the staff, everybody who was involved, for really putting together something that absolutely works and had staying power. Because it takes some inventiveness to really be good at that and for it to stick. It wasn't an automatic, as everybody knew back then. And I think The Score's done a great job of doing that and kind of evolving. And as a sports fan, I say I'm glad it's here, because it's brought a lot of other sports talk to Chicago that they didn't have. I had to search for shows to call when I was 16, 17 years old.
And hilarious, man.
And I probably don't sound any smarter now than I did then, but that's okay. You know, it's always great.
I was just going to say, that's how you got so good. You had early reps of asking questions and coming up with takes, and that's why you're so good at what you do now.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was such a geek, such a nerd. I used to tape the shows that I was on. So I have some of those old calls I used to make to some of these shows, and man, if you think I have bad takes now,
oh,
you should have heard me
them.
In 1976, you know, talking the Bears draft and Vince Evans. You know, it's just,
wow. We got to see those tapes.
They will never see the light of day. That'll be the lost tapes, you know.
So. That's hilarious.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Well, Potsy, I'm with you. Like, what are the Bears playing for? I know that Thomas Brown seemed to, I don't know, take exception as a Redwood, but very much thinks that this is a real game. That's not realistic when a team has lost 10 in a row. How are you handling this game this week in terms of what you're looking for, if anything, about the actual Bears-Packers game?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's really not a whole lot to look for. especially for a game, you know, a Bears-Packers game, you know, there's usually something. While they can get some salvage something, I don't think a win really does much at all for Bears fans. I mean, you know, this is the season has been such a lost cause that even that, you don't even really, to me, you really don't even have that to hang your hat on. You know, Caleb Williams, I agree with him playing. I think it's a legitimate question because 100%. Of the injury factor and with the sacks he's been taking. But like I think I wrote off of that press conference, you know, that's sitting in week 18 is something that quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have earned the right to do. Mm-hmm. And in the development stage, you don't really do that. You know, you don't protect your quarterback like that. So I think that's the right move. You just, like I said, you just keep your fingers crossed, but he'll be in a different offense next year, almost certainly. And with different, teammates, even there's nothing to build off. I remember covering a finale. I think it was in 2000. That covered the finale at Detroit. The Bears had a similar bad season under Dick Geron, and they had a really good game. They played a really great game against the Lions, and I remember poo pooing it and just dismissing it as too late. And it actually, you know, led to the great 2001 season. It was actually a foundation, a building block of that season under Geron. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't see there being much to play for in that regard here. I think the Bears are going to be the Bears in 2025, regardless of what happens in this game.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos, plus the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I think a win, Potsy, would almost just be comical, right? To snap the losing streak against Green Bay in Lambeau and it mean nothing would just be like the most Bearsy thing of Bears things to happen this year. If anything, I think what we were talking about a little bit earlier on the show is just to have some sort of positive momentum for the players and the locker room and sort of the camaraderie, because a lot of these players are going to be back next year. And Thomas Brown, I think for his resume to be like, I was able to somehow, some way in this crazy situation, pull out a win in Lambeau Field. I mean, that's sort of, I think, what the team needs to be rallying around this week, because, you know, you listen to the press conferences, you listen to all the sound coming out of Halas Hall this week, and no one's talking about this game on Sunday.
Right, right. But, you know, you're right about that, Ruthie. But even that, going back to what you said earlier, is like, even that would almost be like ironic,
right?
Because I think the theme of this team is that it has not responded.
Mm-hmm.
And all this kumbaya, we still have a great locker room and we're tight, and that they like each other, which they do, has not produced anything. The story of this season is the lack of response to, like, the Hail Mary and every game after that they were supposed to respond to and never did. And that's what I'll be honest, that bothers me more about this team, because I think it kind of exposes that the makeup of the team, even though it's a strange thing, a bunch of good guys who like each other, and yet you still can't win. What does Ryan Poles do? What does it start getting worse, guys? I mean, you know, it's a locker room makeup situation that is much trickier than normal seasons like this, where it's the result of a bad locker room or having bad elements in the locker room that you have to get rid of. Like when the Bears immediately got rid of Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett in 2015, and then they don't have those fixes to make, and that's the point. It's a good locker room that responded like a bad one, and that's to me, that's a much bigger issue for Ryan Poles than just fixing the offensive line.
In the year 2000, the Chicago Bears were 6-10. As Potsy said, they beat Detroit 23-20 in the season finale at the Pontiac Silverdome. Next year, the magical 13-win 2001, which wasn't sustainable. But I always like doing this here, Potsy, and I know you like this too. Shane Matthews that day, 14 of 18, 123 yards. Cade McNown was the backup. James Allen carried 22 times for 72 yards. Marty Booker, 7 catches for 79 yards. Was that his second? No, that was his first go-around with the Bears. And then leading the team in tackles that day, Mike Brown with 18 tackles that day.
Yeah. So, and the thing they did was they made plays. R.W. McQuarters had like a big interception and a big play in that game. And those were the kind of plays they ended up making in 2001.
Yeah.
So it was kind of it wasn't just they won. It's the way they won that was a precursor to it. But to be honest, I went the total opposite skeptical way and said, no way, because even then that wasn't the Bears. By then, you know, the Ditka regime was over and I was already skeptical about, you know, the Bears doing too much too late, and here we are 25 years later and kind of the same old story. I guess that's probably not a great thing either.
Yeah, no, it's true, but then let's bring it back to the present here. Last thing that I have for you here right now is, what did you think yesterday about Caleb Williams? And we're going to play some of this audio coming up. Caleb Williams and his seemingly very, very serious, legitimate defense of his offensive line in regards to the sacks that he has taken this year.
Yeah, I thought it was great that he said that and that it showed, you know, kind of, I guess, maturity and leadership. I just hope he's wrong. You know, if he's the problem is the quarterback for all the sacks, you might have a quarterback problem.
Mm.
So you really got to hope that it is the offensive line and not the quarterback, because frankly, quarterbacks don't change when it's the quarterback's fault. There's not a history of that changing. When a quarterback has a lot of sacks, and I kind of looked into this last night, is there's always changes on the offensive line. I mean, Joe Burrow was sacked like 50 times the year they went to the Super Bowl that year. They went to the Super Bowl, and they had 4 new offensive linemen the next year. So, I mean, usually the issue, at least if in perception if not reality, is that it is the offensive line. So I say this with some seriousness that, like I said, I think it's great that he said it. I just hope he's wrong.
Because yeah, that's a great point, man.
I don't think it's a good sign that a number one overall pick is taking that many sacks on his own.
Amen.
That doesn't show good instinct as a quarterback. That's not an it factor guy to me.
Yeah.
So hopefully he was just being overly nice and wanted to be a good teammate, which he's really tried so hard to be. Or he's just, been, I think, naturally been. I shouldn't even say try. He's actually been. And I think I'll be honest, I'm hoping that was the issue, because the Bears are going to have changes on their offensive line in the offseason.
Potsy, great stuff as always. We'll see you out at the hall, man. Thanks for
checking
in. Thanks, Potsy. Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Yep. There goes Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. When we come back, Ruthie, full-on Bears report, and we can care, we can find out why you're so disgusted right now about what Mark Potash
left it. Oh, we're going to break after that.
Coming up on The Score.